Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Take it, Marvin. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by CEO of your United Way of Southwind and Adams Counties, Terry Johns.
Good morning.
We are here to have some fun. We got some entertainment news for you in a little bit. We're going to get into a couple of other fun topics as well. We got 10 foods you should never store in the freezer. All that stuff coming up for you. But we kick off the 9 o'clock hour on this Thursday, like the way we like to, with our friends at the Southwind County Humane Society. We have Denise with us today. How are you doing, Denise?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
Doing good. Thanks a lot for being here. We appreciate the time. I wanted to get our pet of the week out there and talk animals with you right away, but before we do have an event we wanted to remind everybody about. We have the annual Super Spring Spectacular event coming up. It is Saturday, April 12th, 10 to 2, over at the Bullseye Golf Club. This event, how is this going behind the scenes, building this up and everything?
Fantastic. We're just about full for sponsors. If you have raffle baskets you'd like to donate, we'd be happy to have more of those, but we have a ton of baskets for people to bid on, and soup, all kinds of soup, if you come to the event. Plus, we have volunteers, a lot of organizations and social service groups are volunteering too.
Formerly the snow sculpture event, and I know how popular that was for many years and everything. Since we don't do snow here anymore, it had to kind of adapt, had to kind of move this a little bit. But one of the more, especially, there's one thing that is certain: it is still cold this time of year, and there is nothing better than soup this time of year.
That's right. Soup warms the soul. Mm-hmm. Right?
I just had some last night; it was great. It's a perfect thing for right now. So, along with the raffle baskets and all these and all the soup that people are going to be able to take in, and we're talking a great soup from some of our local businesses around here and everything.
Absolutely. It's all donated soup. So
it's
thank
very
you.
Cool. You're going to have a bake sale and some other activities there as well.
Yeah, there might be a few games for the kids, face painting, things like that. But mostly we're going to try and bring maybe a pet or two, but it depends on our dog population. The cats, we can probably handle bringing those for show and tell as well.
Most of the people attending this are going to understand this, but for those that may not and everything, I don't want to act like it's just common knowledge, but when it comes to these events are for the animals, but they're not always great for the animals in some ways.
Absolutely.
I know I ran into that at shelters many times. We had a water balloon fight. And there were people that showed up and they were upset the dogs weren't there. And we're like, well, we're not going to have a water balloon fight with dogs and everything. Yeah. Like, it's a whole separate thing. That's I don't know how they throw them. I don't know how they...
they probably just eat the balloon, and we don't want that.
Yeah. So it's a fun event and everything. But if we get whatever animals we can bring, that's great. But, it's about... So much of this, and when we focus on humane societies, certainly the animals come first, and that is the first thing. But it's also important to remember all the people that are working at these places, volunteering at these places, and these events are just as important for that as they are for the animals.
Yes, sir, absolutely. Yeah, we could not survive without our volunteers and our staff, because they're, especially through construction, they are making it livable for the animals, because a lot of them are really stressed, but they're taking them out for walks, they're socializing, they're playing games with them just to take some of the edge off. But yeah, we could not survive without our community volunteers and staff that's on site every day.
Our annual Super Spring Spectacular event is coming up Saturday, April 12th, over at beautiful Bullseye Golf Club. Make sure to make plans for that, everybody. We'll be talking about it a lot as we lead up to it. You mentioned the construction. How's that going?
Excellent. They're about a week and a half out of us moving into the new reception area, and then they're going to reconfigure behind where we're currently. They're going to reconfigure that for more space for animals and storage and quarantine, things like that. It's great, but they're almost done.
It's really good to hear. I've been to the Humane Society as it's traveled to a couple of two different buildings, mm-hmm. and the building over there, it's nice. You got a lot of nice space out there and everything. I love the building itself.
Yeah.
There are, as a kid growing up in construction, when I walk in there, there are some things there that I could see. Could you just help you guys out a little bit, just a little bit here or there? So that's really encouraging to hear that's happening.
Oh, it's great. Yeah, more space, safer facility for the animals and for staff. So we have high hopes.
Denise, I think we have made the audience wait long enough. Let's get to our pet of the week.
This week, we're going to feature Max. He's a 5-year-old, I want to say pit staffy mix. He's a medium to large sized dog, so he's not jumpy, he's not high activity, but we wouldn't recommend a family with small children. From where he came from, we would recommend him being the only fur baby in the home, but he could be the right fit if there's an appropriate meet and greet done. But Max is about 5 years old, up to date on vaccines and neutered.
And handsome.
Very, and he's handsome. Beautiful.
As a handsome
dog. He is cute. Yeah.
As, I am such a sucker for brindle coats.
I know, me too.
I am such a sucker for that. Especially those gray brindle ones. Like, it doesn't matter what breed the dog is, I will take it, like, anytime. Max is a mature dog, too.
Yep.
Not at all. I'm not saying old by any means, but mature to the point of a lot of his growing has been done.
Yes, doesn't have that puppy energy, and he's very calm compared to some of the other dogs that we have at the shelter. He's amazing, and he has that big broad chest.
Yes,
just he's gorgeous.
There's some great shots of Max. You can check out at swchs.com. In just great shape. This is a very well built dog. When it comes to his maturity too, mind wise certainly, but his body is pretty much where it's going to be too.
Yep,
so you
absolutely
can kind of plan on that as well.
He's not going to get bigger. He doesn't have that puppy jump. He's learned some manners. He's pretty good. He's a great dog.
He seems like it.
Yeah,
he seems like it. I don't know if you could do this with people at all. I don't know if a picture really tells anything about a person necessarily, or a whole lot about them. But animals animals are not, what you see is what you get a lot of the times with animals, oftentimes. And that's part of the reason why we can recommend checking out these animals. Certainly, there are other steps to take, as Denise was saying there. If you see Max, you're like, this looks like our dog. This looks like what we've been looking for. Mm-hmm. You bring him in, you're going to, before Max is with the family, you're going to have all the confidence in the world before that happens.
100%. Yeah, we will not put an animal into an uncertain facility or surrounding. We want to make sure that both sides are happy and that it's going to be a good fit.
I know that you guys over there talk, I don't know how often, but talk with others, sanctuaries and humane societies and that. I know when I was in the industry a little bit, I did too. One of the encouraging things that I have found is the idea that is just common, becoming more and more common knowledge.
Yes.
I don't begrudge humane societies of the past or anything like that, but we're in a day and age now where it's kind of understood. It doesn't help to get the wrong animal with the wrong family. The animal's just going to come back, or a bridge burned or something along those lines.
Yep.
So it's really cool to see that humane societies around the country, that's kind of the MO now.
Yeah, it is true, and it's a great advance in how animals are surviving and thriving in the community, and how we can make sure that these animals are going to loving homes for forever, because every time the animal comes to the shelter, it's not the ideal environment for them. So we want to make sure that we get them out for someone to love them and a good fit for every family.
And there is a good fit. Every one of these animals have a good fit out there. They are just waiting for you, everybody. Denise, is there anything else you wanted to touch on before we let you go?
Nope. We may be closed to the public next week, Thursday and Friday. Watch Facebook posts and our website. They are going to be doing floors. And when they lay that epoxy, it's very, very hard to breathe and hard to be around with your eyes open. So watch the website and the Facebook page for posts that we may be closed or by appointment only Thursday and Friday of next week.
Find that out by following them on Facebook. Be sure to do that and share their posts on your page. You just never know who might see them otherwise. Find out about Max and all these amazing animals at swchs.com. Be sure to visit them at 3621 64th Street North. If you can pick up an extra bag of food or cat litter or anything like that and drop it off, we'd greatly appreciate it. Keep in mind you can reach out to them email-wise, office@swchs.com. Give them a call, 715-423-0505, 423-0505. And again, bookmark their webpage, swchs.com. Be listening every Thursday for an opportunity to hear our new pet of the week and our new best friend. Because I'm going to be, there's so many great dogs on here. We got to go to commercial break because I got to look at these. and make plans for the annual Super Spring Spectacular coming up Saturday, April 12th over at Bullseye Golf Club. We'll talk more about that as we get closer to it. And we'll be talking with you next Thursday. Denise, thanks for the time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Terry and I will be back with more show coming up on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Terry and James hanging out with you. A big thank you to Denise for joining us, our friend from the Southwood County Humane Society, being with us every Thursday in the 9 o'clock hour. Hanging out with her and talking about Max is a great way to start off the day.
Did you pick out a new dog yet?
I've got like three of them. No. They're
what a kitty.
That wouldn't be bad. The second pet I ever owned was a six-toed cat, so I wouldn't mind that. But there is just a number of animals on here. I admit, I'm a dog guy. I've been looking at the dogs a lot. There's so many good ones. Check them all out at SWCHS.com. SWCHS.com.
You know, it might make you balance your time better.
Oh, absolutely it would, yes. Dogs have a way of doing that to me. So, and I think to a lot of people. We're going to get into some entertainment news now, and we're actually talking homes to start things off. The owners of the Breaking Bad house in Albuquerque, New Mexico, have been there for more than 5 decades, but they have now had enough. They are selling the house because they are tired of all the attention it gets. The house attracts an average of 300 cars a day, and the family had to put up a fence to keep fans from getting too close. Joanna Quintana says, quote, this was our family home from 1973, almost 52 years. So we're going to walk away with just our memories. It's time to move on. We're done. There's no reason to fight anymore. The value of the home is estimated at $350,000. But the family is asking for $4 million thanks to the cultural significance of it. And they'll probably get it. That's the crazy thing.
Probably. But, I mean, if you're leaving your home of law, you know what I mean, they should get some benefit for it.
We hear this all the time. There's property value, there's home value, and then there's emotional value, and you can't put a price on that last part. So for this family, I do feel for them a little bit. At the same time, you can't know what you're signing up for, and yet you know what you're signing up for if you agree to have your home in a TV show. I have some empathy for it, and at the same time, you kind of got to know this is a possibility.
I was just hustling up some facts here. That's why I was like, wait a minute. If they've lived there since 1973, they obviously signed on to have filming done there.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is something that happens a lot in California. There's ones that have horrible stories to them and that are still around, and people rent out and all that. There's certain homes out there that they can't sell because not only the history but the value of it, the combination of it, like nobody's buying that home. So they just open them up as B&Bs or for tours and that kind of thing. But there's some beautiful homes out there that'll never be lived in because of the history of it or just something like this.
Okay, so I never saw this show. So this was just the home of someone in the show?
Yeah, I believe so. Okay. I'm going to be honest, I saw the first season and then that was about it. It was a really good show. Very well acted. I just couldn't keep up with it. I have too many things going on. I have to really be picky about the shows that I watch, because if I'm gonna get into a show, I go all in. So I can't. That was one of those ones that either you're gonna go all in or you can't loosely watch a show like that.
I do think it's funny though that many cars drive by.
Yeah. That it was a very popular show, but at the same time, we're not talking like This Is Us popular. So the traction it gets is still pretty surprising
to me. And this is
just
I'm just looking at a picture of it. This is literally a ranch style 4-bedroom, 2-bath. A backyard pool, but you can't see it from the road picture that I'm looking at. But I mean, it just looks like a nice regular house. I know, but it just looks like a regular house.
But it just looks regular.
It's not like you're driving by some big mansion or something that.
And as they stay in real estate, the biggest thing, location, location, location.
Oh, crucial scenes from the show were featured at this house.
Okay. And we're staying with real estate as Joey Porter's house from Dawson's Creek is being auctioned off, and starting bid is $29,000. As of last night, it was up to $30,000, though. So it's going away kind of cheap, actually, especially in comparison to this other home. The house is in Wilmington, North Carolina. But if you buy it, you can't move into it right away. First, you have to move it, and that means the whole home.
Oh.
So that's part of why you're seeing that price tag. This is a personal property auction, meaning that the house itself is for sale, but the land is not. It has to be moved, and the buyer is responsible for all costs associated with the relocation.
Interesting. Well, I mean, I suppose.
Now, now you're talking about. I like these kind of homes. So, trying to describe it a little bit, it's a nice one. It's got a pretty nice porch area and everything. Mm-hmm. But it isn't one of those houses on stilts. I'd never actually seen these until I was. I stayed in Galveston for a little while in Texas. I was down there for about 2 months and stayed right on the beach and all that. And the homes over there are it's so cool looking the way they built those.
Yeah, it is neat.
I actually got to talk to a guy, a construction worker out there that like worked on those kind of homes and the process it takes. And maybe this is understandable to some out there, but building the home and then putting it on those blocks is insane to watch. It's incredible. It's not the same thing by any means, but I think of things like, man, how'd they build those pyramids? Like, just to see the construction of these things, I think is really cool. And I didn't get to see somebody put a house on those stilts or anything, but there are also construction builders that will build the home and put the stilts on it. And then put it down.
Well, it is interesting. When we go to, we like the Gulf Shores area in Alabama. And, you know, all of the homes, the, you know, single family homes that are ginormous, that are on the beach are up on stilts. But I always wonder about, because, you know, they're handling gale force, hurricane force winds, right?
Yeah.
But I always wonder how deep those stilts go.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? To hold, because some of these houses are, or the other thing, to bear the load.
Yes.
Like how many posts and how deep do they need to be to manage so much weight? You know, it's interesting.
And California, certainly some of the locations are most coveted are on the bluffs. And to see those homes, it's beautiful and they look so cool. And I wouldn't want to walk into one of them. I would not want to walk. I just know my luck.
You don't want to slide down?
Yeah, I know that's going to, the second I walk into one of those homes, what's going to happen? So yeah, I can't do it. Is, to you, to the audience, is there ever been a home in a TV show, a movie that you were like, okay, I want that? Or I would love to, I would move in there. No taxes, or you don't, you know, the price of it, it's, we're just giving it to you. You could have this particular home. It's yours.
Yeah.
Like, that's a good, like, we'll keep that question open. You know, we'll keep it open to everybody out there. But I think that's a fun one. I want the Simpsons home, but that's not surprising to anybody. I just want the painting. I want the Marge painting of the sailboat.
I think thinking about it from, like, when I was younger, like, as from a kid perspective, would be way different than maybe what I would pick now. I'm trying to think through what I would pick if I were to pick right now.
I don't, you know, especially when you think about this, it's such a secondary character, the home. Like, especially with sitcom shows where it's focused on the family. You don't really think much about the living room or the home itself or anything like that. It's left to your imagination oftentimes to imagine what it is all completely like. But it's not something you think about that often. In fact, in like casting-wise, as far as a location for a home or building one and everything, you want it to be like a background act. You want them to stand out a little bit, but not too much. You don't want them to distract from the actors or any of these things. So there's a lot of thought that goes into it. And I could see that some of these would be pretty cool. I think that for me, some of the homes that I'm thinking of don't actually exist. They're just on a sound stage. And it's just like a location, it's just a picture of it and everything.
Like you pick a certain home and they deliver you to a shed or a building that has just the facade.
Yeah. And here's another good one that I wanted to get to, and we will keep this topic open as well. If someone asked you what the best concert you've ever been to was, what would you say? Would you have to think about it, or would you be able to pop up with an answer right away? This one comes to us from ACM. The Boot asked some of their favorite country stars and favorite musicians in general. You know, they left it open to genre and stuff, but they just happened to be talking to country artists. What your favorite concert was? Ashley Cook said her favorite was seeing Ed Sheeran. John Osborne from the Brothers Osborne and Michael Trotter said the Warren Treaty. Jelly Roll said his favorite concert was Garth Brooks. There's a huge influence on him.
That might have been my favorite concert, too, actually.
Cody Johnson said Nickelback.
Huh.
That's kind of a brave answer.
I'd like to see them.
Dasha said Taylor Swift. Scotty McCreery said Bruno Mars. Thought that was, that was kind of interesting.
But he puts on a great show.
Mm.
Bruno Mars is, like, the entertainment level value is, I mean, it's so energizing.
He's he just came out with some stuff with Lady Gaga, and he's got some other things in the works. We're gonna be hearing him a little bit more in the next couple of years. And Lainey Wilson, maybe the biggest name in all of music, but certainly in country music. Her and Chris Stapleton, like, I don't know, it's back and forth between who's ever a bigger name right now. She said her favorite concert was the very first one she saw at the age of 4, Tim McGraw. She said, my mama took me and my sister in a double stroller to the Tim McGraw Down on the Farm tour. That's probably when I got bit by the bug. Yeah, that'll do it. That'll do it.
At 4? I'm not saying not bit by the bug, but I'm saying how can that be your favorite concert?
So I was about 4 or 5, and my mom, she heard, I don't know how she heard about this, but there was something going on and basically took me or whatever to see B.B. King. And I don't remember it or anything like that. But to this, I just love blues. I love B.B. King. I've always enjoyed it. I don't know that she remembers it.
Yeah.
But I think her brain does.
Or the idea that you were there or that kind of thing. I guess when you say to me favorite concert, I'm thinking about how I, you know, the experience that I personally got from it.
I think we're talking more at least as a young adult, if not as an adult. I think that my favorite shows, certainly in my early 20s, a lot of them and everything, but I would think I would enjoy going to concerts more now. Back then, it was so much, I was trying to do so much and experience so much and take it all in and everything. Now I feel like I'd have a better pace, a better patience with all that while still being able to enjoy myself. I want to go to more concerts now than I ever did, even though I would say between like 18 and 25, I probably went, if you told me I went to 40 shows, I wouldn't be surprised. I went to a ton of concerts back then.
They're hard to afford now.
Yeah, a little bit
like
different.
It's a little crazy. But you know, and maybe for me too, like, yes, it's about the music, but I don't know how, I don't know. When you ask me like favorite concert, I can think of a few different ones, but for me it's more about like who was I with, there's more to it. If it's literally just on the music and the entertainment value, it was Garth Brooks hands down. But then you know, I feel like I saw Jimmy Buffett a couple times, and both, like, one was at Alpine Valley, so you get that whole outside, and then the other was in Las Vegas, so it's like, I mean, and those were awesome, but it's totally different.
Oh, yeah.
You know, or then I think of my first concert. Of course, that one has impact, but that was, I was a teenager.
Yeah.
I wasn't 4.
Right. that's a pretty good, those are all good answers and all good points. I think it's, this answer changes when you look at it differently or when you look at how old you were. At this age, it's this one. That's a really great point you bring up about who you're with, though, because I think that maybe the best show I saw, I went to by myself, so it's not my favorite show. Musically, it was the best show I've seen, it wasn't my favorite show. I think my favorite show that I'll ever see live, it really wasn't, I might be cheating here, it wasn't a music act. I went with my sister to go see George Carlin in Point, and I'll never forget it. I remember jokes he told in that. I remember seeing his face and some of the stuff, and my favorite part... Carlin had this ability. There's got to be at least a couple hundred, if not 1,000 people in that auditorium in Point, and somehow made me and my sister feel like we were the only people he was talking to. And there was a moment where he tells a joke, and he's not looking obviously right at my sister, but he's looking in that direction. And I glanced over at Jill. She was like 7 again. She was like 8, 7 years old again, and just a little kid just lighting up at this person that she knew in her whole life was like looking at her direction and everything. I'll never forget it. Stuff like that. Yes. It's the people you're with.
That adds value for me.
It's almost not, especially at this age, I don't think that, like, I went to those shows by myself when I was in my early mid 20s. I think at this age, I'm probably staying home, if I'm being honest. I'm not going to a show by myself. I'm not going to go do that. I teach their own, and more power to you if you do. There's a lot of people that love doing that kind of stuff, and there's a lot of things I like doing on my own. That one, it's more about the experience. If I want the music, I'll just pull it up. I'll just listen to it.
Right?
You know, if I'm going to see an act, it's got to be an act. And another thing, too, I'm more inclined to go out and see an act that I never seen before, and I don't know how much longer they're going to be around, if I can be, you know, blunt about it, as opposed to an act that just came out and they're really exciting and I love their music or whatever, but they don't have a huge library of music. I want to see acts that have been around a long time that I've always wanted to see.
You know who puts on an amazing show is Eric Church.
I've heard.
It is fabulous. But, you know, on the other hand, I got to see, a surprise, didn't know it was going to be her, Alison Krauss, at the Grand Ole Opry. And then there's something about, you know, but I'm just, like, fangirling on her music. Like, you know, so it, oh, yeah. I don't know. I think I have a lot of favorites.
I don't care where it is. I would walk to see Alison Krauss.
It was fabulous.
We will take a quick time out. We'll come back after our news, sports, and partner break. And Terry and I are going to be getting into 10 foods you should never store in the freezer. It's coming up on The Morning Show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show at WFHR. Little Stevie Wonder play us into the segment. Terry and James hanging out with you. Hope you're having a fantastic day out there. We've got a good one for you lined up. Might want to take a look in your refrigerator after we're done with this. We got 10 foods you should never store in the freezer. Before we get to that, though, I did want to touch on a couple of quick notes. One, I want to encourage everybody to sign up for the WFHR newsletter. Got a new edition popping up in just a couple of hours into your email box. It is your one-stop shop for Central Wisconsin news, things going on in our area. Not only are we covering your weather, your sports, but we're also covering a lot of gray areas, topics that don't always get covered in our media as well as we, you know, some of us would like. It gives you an inside look on different events going on in our area. There is so much good reporting going on over there. If I mention one name, I'm not going to mention one. Another one. Get over there. Find out what I'm talking about. We've got so many great people writing so many great articles over there for it. I got to get an article on there. I got one I've been working on. I want to get to Melissa. I do want to shout out Melissa, though, in particular, as our EP, if you will, of this newsletter. She does an amazing job on it. Sign up for the WFHR newsletter. It is just a quick couple of, like a minute it'll take you, not even. And if you got an email address, we can get that to you. And it's right there. You don't have to do anything else. Shows right up for you. Did also want to mention a little bit later today, and Terry and I were talking a little bit about this in our pregame, I'm going to be meeting up with Sally Kistner from the Arts Council, and together we are going to be interviewing Michael Cavanaugh. Michael is an amazing young artist who is going to be performing here in town on the 20th over at the Performing Arts Center. We're looking forward to that, looking forward to welcoming him to town, welcome him to the show here, and interviewing him. It's going to be a really fun interview. You'll catch it on Midday Magazine a little bit later today. If you don't know Michael, all I'll say is Billy Joel personally picked him to play Billy Joel in the musical Moving Out. There's a lot I could say about this young man. There are Grammy nominations, different things like that I can mention. I feel like that's all I got to say.
Yeah, what a great honor.
Like, yeah, oh my God, I can't imagine. Yeah, I can't imagine. It's similar to Rami Malek being chosen by the remaining members of Queen. Like, yeah, you can play Freddie Mercury. Like, or the young kid, Adam Lambert, that's actually doing it and like in touring and everything. I can't imagine what that might feel like.
Could you imagine if Homer picked you to play Homer?
Oh my God. Don't! did want to remind everybody as well that, you know, sometimes those things in your fridge maybe should have taken them out of there. 41 years ago today, President Reagan declared March 6th Frozen Food Day and called upon all Americans to, quote, observe if the appropriate ceremonies are and activities. So basically, you know, hey, get that frozen burrito out of there. It's been there for 2 years. It's time.
Tinfoil surprise.
If you open the freezer and one of those items speaks back at you, then it's been there too long.
Or if it falls out at you?
Yes, that too. This was actually, I didn't remember this, but I vaguely remember a little bit of this when it was a thing, you know, they were worrying about people filling, they wanted to get people the stuff out of their fridges so that they'd buy more stuff and put more things in there, but also because there was an issue with this for a little while, there were frozen food.
Well, I mean, how long is something good in the freezer?
Good question. Well, according to experts, here are 10 foods you should never put in your freezer because they don't keep well. And I think some of these are self-explanatory, and then some of them, well, we know our fellow humans. if you can think it, maybe it happened. Milk. It separates when thawed. Same goes for cream-based soups.
Yeah, ugh.
Yeah, yeah.
So it freezes fine. It's when you try to use it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Cooked pasta. It gets gummy and mushy. Oh, there are few things that anger me more than mushy pasta. It shouldn't happen. Come on. It's not hard. Even I can boil pasta.
And honestly, it is pretty inexpensive. So, like, if you have some left, putting it in the freezer you're probably better to just toss it, right? Whatever you don't eat in the week that it sits in the fridge, then just toss it.
I am, especially growing up in my family, you just don't waste food. You don't waste a crumb. At the same time, if it's not going to get eaten or if it's not good, it's getting thrown out.
You're not putting noodles in the freezer.
No, no. Does anybody else do this where you put a little bit of salt in the bowl before you put the hot water in and heat it up and everything? If you do that, it tends to keep the noodles, the bottom noodles, from sticking to the pan. Just a little bit of salt, like a pinch of salt.
Yeah, I actually all pasta and potatoes, boiling potatoes, put salt in the water.
Right on. Speaking of, raw potatoes come up next. Cooked potatoes freeze well, just not raw ones.
What would make...
I'm having a fun time while I'm telling these in the back of my head, thinking of these scenarios that would actually have them doing this. And I can't think of one.
Okay. For that, though, for raw potatoes, that has to just be a preservation, like a not-to-waste thing, right? Like, because why would you put...
Well, and for every one of these that we grow up and we kind of just learn this in osmosis, whether seeing our parents do it or a TV show or whatever it is, there's going to be some gray area where there's some stuff where kids just didn't grow up learning, you know, this certain things. And that's not a shot at anybody. That's not one of the, that just happens. That's just life. There's a lot to learn.
I mean, you think about all the different foods out there. Yeah. Everyone did not eat every single food or have every single food prepared in their home when they were, you know what I mean? So yeah, there's going to be things you didn't have exposure to.
Eggs in the shell. The inside expands and cracks the shell if you need to freeze eggs because, they're expensive and whisk them first.
Liquid expands when it freezes?
It's a newer concept we're trying to wrap our minds around.
All right.
Science is behind
now,
it.
Now, given the price of eggs, fine. But again, that wouldn't even be on my radar to put those in the freezer. Any eggs.
Yeah.
Like to me, even if you, let's say you... Okay, you agree you can't put the raw ones in a shell. But let's say you hard-boiled a bunch of eggs. I can't even think that those would be good coming out of the freezer.
No, I can't think so. Also, not very good. Eggs, this is getting crazy with eggs. I was walking into work, and I had a guy come up in a trench coat. Hey, I got some eggs here if you want them. I got brown eggs. I got white eggs.
Lies, so bad.
I don't know. How do you even walk around like that? I mean, you would think the eggs would break.
How do you have eggs in a trench coat? Who wears a trench coat?
It's ridiculous.
Not even a thing anymore.
Nobody's wearing trench coats anymore. That is, one of the quickest ways to get noticed. And something's going on right there.
Remember,
keep an eye on
trench
that
coats were a thing.
Yeah. Fried foods, they'll end up soggy and gross. So, yes, as much as you pay for that KFC or that fast food,
eat it.
Just eat it. It's not
you brought up like KFC or just fried chicken, let's say.
Yeah.
I mean, there's plenty of other things you can do with it. If you don't eat it all, like you can pick it off the bone and make a casserole or something. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like there's plenty you can do. You just have to be
chicken,
a little creative.
I definitely do that.
It doesn't need to go in the freezer.
No. Soft cheeses. Things like cream cheese and ricotta separate just like milk. Same goes for yogurt.
See, I'm being enlightened. It would never be on my radar to freeze cheese.
I wouldn't think of that. Yeah, I wouldn't have thought of it. Pasta salads with mayonnaise, because again, it separates. If you're seeing a theme here. Yeah, noodles. You never freeze noodles. You just don't do it, no. Fresh herbs. It wrecks the flavor and texture of them. That was brand new to me. I did not know that.
And the other thing is, though, that they will keep much longer than, you know, if you just have like fresh herbs, like, they're going to keep much longer than your normal shelf life of prepared food. So you should be able to just maintain those in the refrigerator.
Yeah. Yeah, I would think so. But that is one I never would have thought of putting in the refrigerator. So cucumbers, they get mushy and slimy because they're mostly water. Now, again, seeing a theme here. Seeing it.
The mountain home is on the mountain.
We got one more for you. If you do want the complete article, you can go to people.com. People.com has the complete article for you. If I'm being honest, number 10 here is the reason that I really was brought into this article, though. Coffee beans. Now, this is something I've seen my mom and I've seen plenty of people.
A lot of people keep coffee in the freezer.
Yeah, lots of people do it, but freezing coffee messes with the flavor. It can absorb odors from other stuff in there.
Yeah. So I do. And honestly, I've even done that. And I think I'm pretty sure my mom does, too, because I usually only drink decaf. But I keep regular coffee at home. Now, the Keurig, of course, changed all of that.
Yeah,
But I do keep regular coffee at home for others who might want that. But I've always just had the canister, you know, in the freezer because there is the idea that it keeps longer. But I can see how You know, that it could absorb. Ugh.
I feel kind of foolish almost for not thinking of this before, because one of the things that I enjoy about coffee, I want to get a grinder and I want to, you know, grind my own mm-hmm. coffee and everything on the weekends. No way I'd be able to do it during the week. But like on the weekends, just to
too
be able
noisy
to relax.
For you?
Too much time. I don't have that time. When it comes to doing that, part of why I want to do it is the smell.
The smell is amazing.
Oh my God.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. Now I feel like I need to go home and clean out my freezer. I just tell you one thing that freezes really well, just because we always have them in an abundance, when you were talking about cucumbers or other things, but blueberries actually freeze yeah. very well. And they're even kind of good if you pop them in your mouth frozen.
Oh yeah. Oh, they're
and,
so good.
And yes. also they're I've seen recommended. Now these are also somewhat liquid filled, but grapes. If you freeze grapes, and then you can actually put them in wine instead of putting in ice, because you don't get the you don't get water. You know what I mean? Like, you don't get the melting. Yeah. You don't dilute the flavor. And they're just good for it. So it's a really cute garnish.
That would be. Another thing, and this is for the health nuts out there. If you're looking to, you know, something good to freeze or whatever, chocolate-covered Oreos.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. No chocolate should be in the freezer, because you should eat it faster than... Although I do...
That's a fair point.
Okay, Thin Mints, Girl Scout Thin Mints.
Oh, my God.
But those go right from the freezer to my mouth. There is no thawing in between.
My my mother, the patience of a saint, she will take one sleeve and eat it, and she'll put another in the freezer and just leave it for a week or something, so it gets incredibly like hard. She's done this my whole life.
Yeah, and you eat them frozen. They're so good.
She loves it, yeah. We will take a quick time out. We're going to come back. We'll get an update about the United Way. We got some good stories of the day and are scheduled to touch on. And a That Ain't Right story for you. All coming up on The Morning Show. Welcome back, everybody.
I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm coming home now right away. I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm sorry now I ever went away. Every night and day I go and stay.
A little bit of the Velvet Fog to play us in. Terry and James here with you. We're going to take you right to the top of the hour, wrap up the show for the day. Great show, great time with all of our listeners and our friends. A shout out to Denise and the Southwick County Humane Society and Max. Check out Max and all these great furry friends over at the Southwick County Humane Society's website, SWCHS.com. Be sure to follow them on social media as well, and be listening every Thursday for another Pet of the Week from the Southwick County Humane Society. And speaking of animals, we go there for our That Ain't Right story of the day, or a second one, really. Maybe a third. Police and firefighters in New Jersey came to the rescue of a pink runaway poodle who jumped into the Pacific River and made her way to an island. The Garfield Police Department said the poodle named Molly was seen running loose in the area of River Drive about 4:15 on Monday, about 5 hours after the canine's owners had reported her missing. Police said Molly was easily identified by her fur, which was dyed pink. And I'm just going to show a little bit of a picture here of this. Because the Garfield Police Department are good at their jobs, they just put a bunch of stuff on social media and made it, you know.
It is super cute. Why?
Well,
why do we need to dye our dog pink?
You don't. I will say nowadays there are some dyes that are made that are safe for animals, but I say that in quotations because no animal was ever meant to have their fur dyed. So you shouldn't be doing this. I wish there was a crime against it, to be honest with you, but it is what it is.
If we're trying to rescue a poodle, and only the pink one is reported missing, we just snagged the pink one?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, this is not on the rescuers at all. I'm just saying, it's just a weird, like, I just go to why is the dog pink?
For me, and again, you can, I am open to hearing other people's debate or conversation about this, but for me personally, that ain't right part is the dog is being dyed pink.
The pink dog.
But the good part of it and the good story of the day is certainly the dog being rescued, and a good story for these officers, because how many times they've had to help animals, especially in the winter, they're helping animals that are stuck on the ice and all these things, but it's never been easier to find a dog.
Fair.
A pink poodle's got to be kind of easier to find.
Like, and great social media posts. I mean, yes. I think that part of it is all good.
Yeah,
I'm like, why is the dog pink?
I agreed. I do want to talk a little bit about United Way with you, Terry, because we got some fun things going on with the United Way. And I just got an email from you guys about the United Way distributing Southwood County help guides.
Yeah, so our help guide for 2025 is now out and available. Members of our team have been out delivering those. They will be coming home with every elementary age student. We've got them at, you know, churches, social service organizations, you know, continuing to get those out. But if you have not come across one, we encourage you to let us know. We can get you one. You can stop by our office. It is also available for download on our website. And this is a snapshot of the resources available to the community through 211. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we partner for Southwood County. We partner with Encourage Community Foundation to make sure that these are getting in the hands of as many people as possible. A little perspective on that. We're printing like 11,000 copies. So there's a lot. And so I encourage you to check that out. And, you know, maybe you don't. I think the kind of the learning opportunity here is, you know, you get one of these and maybe you don't need it right now. This is the perfect thing that you know, tack up on the fridge. Yes. Or tuck in the junk drawer, or, you know, because you might come across a situation in the next year where it's not top of mind to call 211, though that's what we're trying to get to. We're trying to get people to that. But that might not be top of mind, but it might be where you're like, oh, you know, I got this thing from church, or I got this thing when I was at my appointment, or whatever the case would be. So we encourage you to, you know, don't toss it, tuck it somewhere where you know where it is. And then, of course, when you have any sort of need, you should call 211. And that's, you know, really what we try to promote by printing the help guide with basic services in it. And then, you know, encourage people to give us a call. We also have an Adams County version. We don't have a print partner for Adams County, so it is available for download again on our website. So if you go there, you can just pull it up and look at it. You also can print it. But like I said, both versions are there. And then for Southwood County, because we have a partner with Encourage Community Foundation, we were able to have a bunch of those printed, and our great friends over at Fay Printing, who, you know, got that done. And those are, like I said, they are out. I gave some to Pam either last week or the week before, so you've got some here in the lobby. And it's just a really great resource for the community.
And people can always stop by the office and
absolutely
pick one up.
Absolutely
encourage you to do that, everybody. And a big shout out to the United Way seeing this and jumping on it. Want to remind you as well, Power of the Purse is right around the corner, March 11th, 5 to 7:30, over at Bullseye Golf Club. Get your tickets and find out more by going to uwswac.org, and be sure to follow them on social media and share their pages, their posts on your page. And we'll be talking more about that as we next week and tomorrow and everything. Do want to remind everybody, we got a great lineup for you today. Great Midday Magazine. We're going to be talking in part one with our good friend Ann James from the UW Extension. We had a great conversation all about maple syrup. Oh, it was awesome.
Nice.
It's great. And in part two, as I mentioned earlier, Sally Kistner from the Arts Council will be in with us. Sally and I are going to be interviewing Mr. Michael Cavanaugh. Looking forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun. You can catch that interview today, 4 to 5, Midday Magazine. Over on our sister state, well, actually, first here, 6:05, we'll have the Greg Gard Show. Want to catch that one, especially coming out of a win over Minnesota. But at 6:50, cannot encourage you enough, get on over to 105.5 WIRI and catch Assumption Girls Basketball taking on Pacelli. Postseason sectionals. The Lady Royals are hard at work and giving us an amazing postseason already. Catch this game and all the action with Mike, Randy, and Laura over at WIRI today, 6:50, 105. Have fun with the game, and I hope it goes well for the Lady Royals. Also wanted to mention a couple of other quick things. It is a Thursday. It's the first of the month, and that means that Pete Rebell and Four on the Floor are going to be live at the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center from 2 to 4 at 2651 A Street South in Wisconsin Rapids. One of the greatest acts you're going to see in this area. Go check out Pete Rebell and Four on the Floor. Keep in mind, our friends at Focus have their neighborhood meals available today. Be sure to reach out to them if need be, 715-422-1980, 422-1980. These meals are served over at 2321 West Grand Avenue, right here in Wisconsin Rapids. You can get down there about 4:30, and start being seated shortly after that. Did want to remind everybody about Emma, the pop musical being held by the Nakusa High School. This is going to be a fun-filled musical event featuring music from Katy Perry, Whitney Houston, Cyndi Lauper. The kids were in with us the other day and did an amazing job. This show premieres tomorrow at 7 o'clock, and then Saturday they'll have a 2 o'clock matinee and a 7 o'clock show, all taking place at the Nakusa High School. Get your tickets at ShowTix4U. ShowTix4U. And speaking of great shows, our wonderful friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater here, begin the end of their run, winter production run. They got three more shows, everybody. Tonight at 7, tomorrow at 7, and it all wraps up Saturday with a 2 o'clock matinee. Get this show in your system. Get on over there. Check it out. You are going to have a great time. Whether it's tonight, Friday, or Saturday, you are going to enjoy yourself. It's a great way to not only support the arts, support your community, but have a darn good time. Great cast. I want to wish everybody in the cast and crew to break a leg. Have a great rest of your run. Enjoy yourselves. And thank each one of them for taking the time and putting their time into our community.
And if you've never been, I mean, that is a fabulous venue. That is our best hidden gems. Not intentionally really hidden, but I'm just saying, you know, really a lot of people have never been there. So what a great opportunity to support, you know, support local artists, but also to see, you know, one of our best kept theaters. Oh, yeah.
Get on over there to wrctheater.org, wrctheater.org. Get your tickets. And while you're there, maybe feel free to fill out an application for Noises Off. Auditions for that are coming up March 10th and 11th. Get on over there and do so. And a reminder to everybody that our WFHR newsletter is going to be dropping. A new edition is going to be dropping in about an hour or so. Every Thursday at noon, you can catch it there and get it. Get signed up for it at WFHR.com. Just takes a second or two. Sign up for the newsletter. And a big thank you to everybody and all the hard work they're putting into it. I wanted to touch on this one, Terry. Good story right here. A band made up of teachers in New Jersey had a concert on Sunday called Teachers Rock for Teachers. It was to help educators 3,000 miles away. Proceeds went to teachers affected by the LA wildfires. The group in Jersey said that they wanted to help because so many people helped them back in 2012 with Hurricane Sandy.
Isn't that awesome? I love that.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty amazing, and it shows so much of what people get into that industry for. Now think about how many lives that impacted. That's pretty cool. Now think about all of those teachers' kids and students, hundreds of them seeing the example of this and learning. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and just the whole pay it forward, right? You know, like just caring for your friends and neighbors, and that doesn't always mean in your same community.
Have a great weekend, Terry, and you guys have a good one out there. We'll meet you back here tomorrow.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.